Welcome to Inspiration and Transformation from the Banks of the Ganga with Sadhvi Bhagwati Saraswati, an American sannyasi living at the Parmarth Nikatan Ashram in Rishikesh, India. Sadhvi is president of the Divine Shakti Foundation, a charitable organization bringing education, vocational training, upliftment, and empowerment programs to women and children. Sadhvi is also Secretary General of the Global Interfaith WASH Alliance and Director of the world-famous International Yoga Festival. Join the musings of an American sannyasi as Sadhvi shares the wisdom and teachings of her guru, His Holiness, Pujya Swami Chidananda Saraswatiji.
Welcome, everyone, to Inspiration and Transformation from the Holy Banks of the sacred Ganga River in the land of Rishikesh, India. How can I teach myself to listen to Mother Ganga? Is there a way to receive her message? So I was speaking the other night about just sitting on the banks of Ganga and listening to her. Now, when we think about a message from the divine, whether we say a message from God, a message from Ganga, a message from the divine in any way, we've got these really kind of preset ideas of how we think it's going to come. You know, like some shining neon flashing light as you're driving down the freeway and you can't miss it and it's very bright and it's going to shine in all capital letters, very, very easy to read. And they don't always come like that. The messages come in so many different ways. So when we listen, we don't listen only with our ears that speak language, that understand language and words. We listen also with our hearts. We listen with our inner being, because you could hear that message in so many different ways. I know throughout my life I've gotten so many messages. I hear so much, but it's not always verbal. It's not like I'm walking on the banks of Ganga and she says, "Hey, psst, got a secret." It's not like that. It's a knowing that comes from within. Now again, sometimes people hear actual voices. I heard one once when I was walking through this ashram at the very beginning and it said, "You must stay here." But that was the only time that I've ever heard it quite like that, in terms of this really external voice speaking to me. The rest of the times, the different messages seem to come in different ways within. Sometimes they come slowly, sometimes it's that in one moment, oh my God, you can see it, understand it clearly. Ganga is the giver of liberation. That's why she's here on earth. The story of Mother Ganga is a story of the goddess who was living in heaven and came onto earth actually to give liberation to the fallen sons, the piles of ashes that were the sons of a king named King Sagar. Long story, but essentially his army worth of sons had managed to insult a great sage while he was meditating. And when the sage opened his eyes, the power in his eyes literally turned all of these young men into ash. Now, in the Hindu tradition, there's a huge emphasis on final rites of a loved one when they die to make sure that their souls become one with God, that they're not stuck in this, what we call the wheel of samsara, this constant cycle of birth and death and birth and death and birth and death, born out of ignorance and attachment and illusion. So there's this huge emphasis on that. So naturally, King Sagar was bereft because what are you going to do with all of these ashes that were actually in the underworld? And so he was told, well, if Ganga comes on the earth, and if she flows as a river over the piles of ashes of your sons, they will attain liberation. Even though they died this death by insulting a sage, still, if Ganga flows over them, they will get ultimate liberation. So he prayed, then his son prayed, then his grandson, King Bhagirath, did incredible amounts of sadhana. Incredible. And finally, Ganga came on earth. Now, I mention this because Ganga's essence is to free us, to grant us that freedom from ignorance, from attachments. It's not just when you die, your ashes are immersed in Ganga and you attain liberation. It's while you're living, freedom from that which is keeping you stuck, freedom from that which makes us feel dead, even though our heart is still beating and we're still in a body. So if you were to say, what's the message of Ganga? Well, Ganga is going to bless you in your own individual way, in your own individual relationship with her, in a way that's going to give you some freedom, some spaciousness inside of you to understand the divinity of you. Ganga's not going to give you a message and say, this university versus that one, or this job over that one. Or, yeah, take him back, he's a good catch. You know, she's not making those sorts of decisions for you. She's going to speak to you in a way in which you're going to find freedom from things that are making you stuck. Grudges. You'll find that Ganga eases you into forgiveness, that she eases you into letting go, that she eases you into ease, that she creates in you some space between your true self and all of this ignorance, all of the stuff that's keeping you stuck. So don't expect a particular voice, a particular way that she's going to speak, but just sit on her banks and allow that flow to flow not only in front of you, but through you. One of my favorite meditations, and it's very powerful this time of year where the flow of Ganga is still very high and you can hear her very easily, is to sit on the banks of Ganga, and as you meditate, as you hear her waters, as you feel even the mist from her waters, Feel them flowing through you, not just in front of you. And as you feel that, feel like she's literally resting from within you junk. I think of myself sometimes as, you know, one of those pots after you've cooked and there's gunk stuck on the inside of the pot. But if you soak it for a while in water and then you run it under really strong water, it helps get all of the gunk out from in the pot. And when I feel Ganga flowing through me, for me, the visualization is always that of flow through me and get this gunk out of me. All of these vestiges of past grudges or past angers or past attachments or false identification or jealousies or anger or competition or all of these things that are blocking our channel from feeling that flow of the divine. You can think of it as like plaque on your arteries and getting some kind of very special treatment of just this high-powered, high-pressure flow through that artery, also pulling out all of the plaque gunk from the sides of the blood vessel. And just feel that water flowing through you, freeing you. And don't worry if you hear her message in words, or you just feel the presence of this Mother River freeing you from whatever it is that's making you stuck. And you'll feel her. I promise. I can't say you'll definitely hear her in words, but don't worry, it doesn't matter. Sometimes the mother speaks to us in words. Sometimes mom just pulls us into her lap and holds us. And if you're a child pulled into the lap of the mother, you never think, well, why is she not speaking to me? You know, she is speaking to me. You feel her. You're in the lap of the mother. So just let yourself feel that. And if words arise, beautiful. If they don't arise, also beautiful. Either way.
You're listening to OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hi, this is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Every 2 minutes, another American is sexually assaulted. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted, you are not alone. Help is just a call or click away through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Please call 1-800-656-HOPE, that's H-O-P-E, or visit rain.org, that's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Welcome back to Inspiration and Transformation. I'm so glad to have you all back here with me. How do we take care of our mind? How do we keep our mind fit? By clearing the baggage. By clearing out the junk. We are looking for peace. We're looking for joy. We're looking for that divine experience. But there's so much chaos happening inside of us. That mind is constantly clamoring. It wants more. It wants different. It wants better. So the nature of our being is actually exactly what we want. That peace, that joy, that is our nature, our divine nature. But then we've got this mind playing its games. And so then we go out in search of peace and joy, when really it's all about just removing the nonsense. I'll show you that we'll do a fun participatory experience, and we'll take this as our last question. But so I'm raising my hand. Karen, can you just raise your hand? Okay. Can you all see Karen, see me, see Karen? So we're going to call this the center. There's also an aisle back there. So we'll call this the center. Now, those of you can put it down. Those of you on this side, on my right side, my left side, Karen's right side, you're group one, okay? If you're group one, raise your hand. Great. This side is group two. If you're group two, raise your hand. Okay, great. Now, group one, your job, whenever I raise my hand on this side, your job is to chant Om. Okay, so let's just practice that. Okay. Seriously, that's all you got? Come on, we've got all of you in the back. This side, if you're group one, we're chanting Om. Good. Group two, your job is to do something that you're not actually going to believe I've told you to do, but I really have, which is to make as much noise, just nonsense noise, what we call ruckus, as you possibly can. And I really mean it. Shout, stamp your feet, clap your hands, whatever it is. But when my hand goes up on this side, and then of course when I bring my hand down, it means stop, is to make as much noise as you possibly can. Okay, one, two, three. Great. Now, that was just to test you. Make sure everybody understood what their role was. Now, pay attention to my arms, because if my arm is up on your side, you need to be doing your thing. Om over here, ruckus over here. But if my hand comes down on your side, it means that side needs to become quiet now. Okay? Both sides. Now, group one, the Omers. Did you start chanting Om at the beginning, or did you only start when these guys stopped making noise? Beginning, everyone. Could anyone over here hear them? Sounded like they started only when you stopped, right? For sure, you were doing it from the beginning. Yes, exactly. Now, I love this demonstration because this is the state of our mind. This over here is what we're going to call our true self, our true nature. Om is the sound of the universe. We are of the universe. This Om is a symbol. I don't mean just the exact sound of Om, but it is also a symbol of that peace, that divine connection we're looking for, that calmness, that enlightened experience. And it's there. It's always there. The problem is this is also going on simultaneously. And as long as this is going on, we have no ability to access that. But the problem is what most of us do is we've got all this going on, and then we go out in search of Om. How can I find peace? Well, you've got it. You just need to quiet the ruckus. So making our minds fit is all about quieting the ruckus. The Om is there. We just have to get this to calm down. And this over here, this is our ego. This is our desires. This is competition. This is jealousy. This is stories. This is drama. And so if we can develop a practice of letting this go into a yajna ceremony, into the fire. When you perform the fire ceremony, with every handful of the, what we call ahuti, the seeds and the ghee, the herbs, offer this ruckus, offer the ego, offer the games of the mind, offer what's holding you back. Some grudge you have, some unfulfilled expectation, some competition, some jealousy, some aspect of the ego. Offer it. Offer it into the waters of Mother Ganga. Stand there, hold her water in your hands, and just offer, take my ego. Take my anger. I'm done. I'm ready to be free. Just offer it. And when you meditate, those of you who have been coming to satsang for a while or watching for a while, you'll know that very, very frequently when I lead meditation, I say, on the exhalations, just let go. Let go of another story. Let go of another desire. Let go of another grudge. Let go of another aspect of that story, that false identity. Just exhale into the universe. Let it go. But as long as we are attached to this, doesn't matter how much Om you have, you'll never hear it. I purposely, by the way, if you look, you'll see, this side has got a lot more people. It's not actually an even split. There's a lot more people over here. But I purposely did that because even when you've got more people Oming, it doesn't matter. The ruckus will always drown it out. So if you really want this, you've got to be prepared to let go of your attachment to this. It's the only way. You say, man eva manushyanam karanam bandha mokshayo. The mind is the key. The key to our bondage or the key to our freedom. It's up to us. And this over here are the chains that keep us bound. Let them go, and you've got them.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Mike Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavathy Saraswati with Inspiration and Transformation. Why do we always crave things that are bad for us, even with all of the really good for us options out there? Why do we crave that which is bad for us? Well, there's a lot of reasons, actually. It seems so counterintuitive. Why wouldn't we want that which is good for us? Well, when we are in alignment, we do. I remember my yoga teacher back in America used to say, people every once in a while would ask about overcoming things like smoking cigarettes, for example. And he always used to say, don't worry. Don't push yourself to quit. Just do more yoga. Because the more yoga you do, you're going to get to a point where automatically you just can't stand the idea of a cigarette. That it's going to become so incongruous with who you are that automatically you'll quit. When we are really living in full alignment, we do actually want what's best for us. You may have noticed when you're meditating well, you're doing your yoga, you're living in alignment with your spiritual practices, with how you're serving in the world, you're much less likely to find yourself, you know, scarfing down entire pints of ice cream or whole bags of chocolate chip cookies or six packs of beer or things like that. We tend to find ourselves doing things like that when we're out of alignment. We're depressed, we're jealous, we're bored, we're angry, we're living in a way that isn't in alignment. We've been staying awake too late at night, therefore sleeping in the morning, skipping our meditation, skipping our yoga. So if you bring yourself into alignment, if instead of beating yourself up about the ice cream or the cookies and giving yourself yet another thing to feel miserable about, instead of that, just recommit yourself to the practices that bring you in alignment. So that's one of the major reasons, is when we are not living in alignment with who we are and what's good for us on the deepest level, we're going to not crave that which is good for us on the outer level. When you are in great alignment, those are the times that you want those veggies, like you're craving the veggies. You're craving salad, you're craving fresh fruit, you're craving things that are healthy because you're living a healthy life. You're living a life that isn't healthy is when you're craving the junk. But another reason is really very simple, which is, I think of it as the insidious world of advertising. And It's this massive industry, billions of dollars, that is really focused on only one thing, which is getting us to buy their product. Now, if I'm the producer of organic salad leaves, I'm going to spend advertising money on trying to get you to buy organic salad leaves. But the organic salad leaf growers tend not to have the budgets that the makers of Big Macs have, for example. And so what you're going to get is a lot of advertising that associates, and this is really the key, it's not going to advertise and say, eat this thing, you'll feel sick. It's not going to say, you know, eat this and I promise you're not going to want to get out of bed tomorrow morning. It's not going to advertise it like that. It's going to be an advertisement of a bunch of friends and they're out together and they're loving each other's company. They're having a wonderful time. And oh yeah, those are Big Macs on the table. Or it's a happy family. A husband, a wife, some good-looking kids, and everybody's loving each other. They're all getting along. And they're sitting down for Big Macs. Now, what ends up happening is that subconsciously in our minds, when we're feeling lonely, or we're feeling disconnected, we're feeling ungrounded, that unconscious association of, oh, Big Macs are the things that, you know, bring friends together and they bring families together. And then suddenly you find yourself craving something that has nothing to do with actual food. I mean, you couldn't actually consider that really food anyway, but it doesn't actually have anything to do with what you're feeding your body. And it has everything to do with actually what you're looking for in your life. And this is how everything is sold. Shoes, handbags, mobile phones, food items, cars, whatever we're trying to sell, we sell them through selling happiness. You know, you take car commercials. These are some of my favorite examples. So car commercials tend to be one of two types. Either they're selling you freedom, so it's the convertible and you're driving off into the sunset, not a care in the world, your hair is blowing in the wind, beautiful, vast vista. Now, we're not selling a car, we're selling freedom. And people who are feeling stuck, trapped in their lives, unhappy, see this, like, yeah, I want to drive off into the sunset with my hair flowing in the wind. And they identify that with the car. Or we sell them as more of like your family vehicles. And so again, it's the happy couple and the happy kids in the back seat. And you think, my God, my kids try to kill each other in the back seat. My husband and I scream at each other in the front seat. And subconsciously, the mind goes, we need that car. Now, your logical mind knows that changing the brand of your car is not going to make your kids get along or you and your spouse get along. But subconsciously, that's what happens. So the same thing is true with food, with alcohol, with all of these things that are not good for us. So don't worry about it. Don't feel badly about it. But just if you do find yourself in the midst of cravings for things that you know aren't good for you, ask yourself, how have I gotten out of alignment? Why is it the things that I know aren't good are things that are calling to me? Where have I gotten out of alignment? And do what you can do to get back into alignment. Get back into your meditation. Get back into your yoga. Get back into your service. Reconnect with loved ones. Reconnect with your values. Read things that inspire you. Watch things that inspire you. And if you find that it's just, you know, something in your consciousness calling at you, again, don't worry about it. And also don't overanalyze it, because it really could simply be nothing more than a billboard you saw on your way home that happened to hit you at a time when you were feeling frustrated or stuck or upset, and it grabbed you at a time when you were vulnerable. And so now you're craving for that thing. But always ask yourself, what do I really want in this moment? What do I think I'm going to get through this ice cream, through the Big Mac, through the pizza, through the six pack, through whatever it is that I'm craving? Actually, what am I looking for? Certainly not a stomach ache, certainly not a hangover. What am I really looking for that I've misidentified as coming from that thing? And then, of course, the last piece being that, you know, sometimes you're just in the mood for a piece of pizza or bowl of hopefully vegan ice cream. And again, don't overanalyze it. It's okay. Nothing wrong with it. If that's really all it is, for whatever reason, have a bowl of the ice cream, have a piece of pizza. There's nothing wrong with it or you. As long as that's all it was. It was just a one-time quick thing. It came, have it, it's okay. Try to avoid the six-pack and the Big Mac. But if it's just, you know, if it's just some pizza, some chocolate, whatever it may be, don't be too hard on yourself. It may just be a simple, you know, unconscious association when you were young. Mom gave you this, dad gave you that. Maybe it's the only way you know how to self-nourish. You know, a lot of us, tragically, were actually raised unconsciously to believe that, guess what? Food is love. It's how a lot of us were parented in different ways. And so a lot of us associate it with that. You know, so many parents all over the world, in doing their best, in loving their family, what do? They feed them. Oh, I love you so much, I've baked you cupcakes. I love you so much, here's some gulab jamuns. I love you so much, oh, you have to have just one more because I made it for you and I love you. And so we grow up associating a really overfull, stuffed stomach with knowing that we're loved. And that's a hard pattern to break as we get older. See whether there's a way that you can find the real love you're looking for, the real nourishing, nurturing that you're looking for, rather than just the stuffed stomach. But through it all, don't feel badly, don't judge yourself. There's so much that we're already feeling like we don't do quite right. And food becomes one of them. So go lightly on yourself. Go easily on yourself. Do that which is healthy for you. But what's most important, honestly, and I'm a big payer of attention to food and to what's healthy and to research on what's healthy. And what all of the research shows is that actually more important than what goes in your body is how you feel about it. As big of a fan of green shakes as I am, the truth of the actual research is that in terms of the long-term health benefits on your body, you are much worse off drinking a green shake while you're angry than you are eating a piece of pizza while you're happy. And so if depriving yourself in some way is making you feel angry and deprived and miserable, you're not actually benefiting yourself, even on a physical level. What's important is that our mind is peaceful and joyful. And ideally, yes, we find joy feeding ourselves things that are healthy for us. But if that's making you angry, you're much better off eating something that's actually going to make you feel happy about it. Because that happiness is doing a lot more for your body than all of the green shakes ever would. So get in alignment, and then you'll find that what's good for you is what makes you happy. But at other times, it's okay. We all have different ways of nourishing and nurturing ourselves. And so just make sure that you are taking care of not just your waistline, but your heart.
This is OTRFM, part of the iOM radio network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with inspiration and transformation. Introspection and contemplation are the best ways to choose your goals. And I would begin any goal setting activity with one very simple question. Let's say I'm setting a goal a month from now. Or I'm setting a goal for a year from now. Before you even think about the goal, ask yourself one very simple question. How do I want to be 1 month from now? How do I want to be 1 year from now? If I had a magic wand and I could compress time in such a way that I didn't even have to do the work, didn't have to set the goal, didn't have to do the work, I could just magic wand that, what would it be? So we were just talking about, you know, food. Well, so a goal might be, I would like to be healthy. Or if you say 6 months from now, I would like to have a healthy body. Okay. Well, then the goals are clear. What is it in your body that's currently unhealthy? And you set goals accordingly. I'd like my cholesterol to come down to normal. I'd like to lose some weight if I'm overweight. But on other levels, you know, it's so easy to set goals based on what society says we should want, as though somehow the highest goal that we should all strive for is more money, more success on that level, more power. And so people run after that. But if you're really honest with yourself, ask yourself, what do I really want? And if you don't know, a good way to check in is to say, well, over all the years of my life, what have been my happiest moments? What have been the moments that have felt the most satisfying, the most deeply enriching, the most full and fulfilled moments of my life? Chances are they weren't shopping trips. Chances are they weren't new purchases or deposits into your bank account. They're going to be times that you made a difference in someone else's life. Times that you deeply shared and connected with another being. Times that you connected with the divine. Times that you experientially understood your true self, that you felt it. Times that you felt at oneness with others, with the universe, with nature, with God. And so, using just a purely scientific way, find out from yourself what actually gives me deep fulfillment. What gives me deep joy? And then ask yourself, how can I have more of that? So, for example, if you're like most people in the world, you are running after making more money, which means that you are spending lots of long hours in the office. Maybe you've got a long commute also. But when you ask yourself what the most meaningful times of your life are, they're going to be, for example, playing with your kids. And yet, you've made a decision to have a job that's 2 hours away because you make an extra, you know, few hundred or few thousand dollars a month at that job. But now you leave home while the kids are still asleep and you come home after they're asleep. So you've made a decision in alignment with a goal that isn't even in alignment with actually what you want in your life. And so when you go to set goals, before you do that, really ask yourself, what brings me deep meaning? And when I say joy, I don't mean, well, you know, I like to go to parties. Not the type of joy that wears off right away. Not the, oh, I like comedy movies. But the deep joy, the lasting joy, the joy on a soul level. That's not, I was enjoying the movie till my Coke spilled in my lap, now I'm no longer enjoying the movie. But really deep heart, soul level. And then set goals that are in alignment with having more of that. And along with that, so that's one list you should make before you set your goals. And the other list you should make is, what are my values? So what brings me joy, meaning, fulfillment? And what are my personal values? What do I believe makes for a right life, what we would call a dharmic life or a yogic life? What are those things? What are my values? For example, do I value generosity? Do I value service? Do I value protection of the environment? Do I value, honesty and integrity? I mean, there's so many things we value. But really ask yourself, what are your core values? If somebody said to you, what are the 10 values or 5 values or 7 values that if you had to align your life along a set of values so that at the end of your life, you could look back and say, yeah, I did it. Whether you die tomorrow or 70 years from now, in such a way, what would be those values so that you would look back on your life and say, yeah, I did it. And then you look at those two lists. What brings you the greatest joy, the greatest, the deepest meaning, fulfillment? And what are your values? And then set goals accordingly. If generosity, for example, is one of my values and I know that I love service, well, set a goal around that. By 6 months from now, I want to have fed blank number of people. I want to have taught blank number of kids how to read. I want to have planted blank number of trees. I want to have donated blank number of dollars, euros, rupees to charities I believe in. However your way of service may be, set a goal like that. If you value honesty and integrity, then set a goal that says 6 months from now, I want to be sure, or 1 year from now, it may take you a little while, I want to make sure that every aspect of my life, from how I make my money to how I spend my money, is in alignment with honesty, with integrity. That, for example, I'm not buying brands of things that are using slave labor or polluting the environment. I'm going to divest my money from stocks that are polluting the environment or working women and children in sweatshops or whatever they may be doing. I'm going to really become conscious about how I earn and how I spend. If integrity and honesty are core values of mine. So if you make those two lists, the goals are going to become really clear. And then, of course, you may, some people I know, set personal goals. Then they set relationship goals. They may set family goals. So you may have a personal goal. And then you may have a relationship goal. What is our collective goal for 6 months from now? Spending time with each other was on both of our lists of the things that fill us with the greatest joy. Can we set a goal that 6 months from now, we're going to be spending blank number of hours a day or a week together? Set family goals. Set however many goals you want that are all according to what brings you the deepest, deepest meaning and fulfillment in your life, and it's in alignment with your values. So that if, as we say, the Lord of Death, if Lord Yum came to you in the night, you would be sad that, you've got to go, but that at least you'd be able to look back and say, yeah. I lived really in alignment with what I believe in alignment with my values. Because that's the stuff that actually makes us feel fulfilled. When we go to sleep every night knowing, all those things I believe in, that's how I live today. I was honest, I was caring, I was generous, I made people smile, I helped people, I spread love, I spread peace. I didn't harm anyone or anything. Set your goals like that.
This brings to a close this hour of inspiration and transformation. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm so glad to be together with you all each week, and I look forward to being together again next Thursday, same time, on Om Times Radio.